Welcome to the Community Development Summit titled Organizing a Resilient Future, brought to you by the Permaculture Institute of North America, or PINA. If you support permaculture across the North American continent, then please consider becoming a PINA member today at pina.in. I'm Jesse, and I will be your host for today's summit. Our next presenter is the stupendous Sean Jennings, presenting on the topic of the 100 Garden Challenge. Sean grew up surfing in Los Angeles, where his connection to the ocean sparked a love for the land. His journey led him to study permaculture and activism at New College of California, and he earned his PVC certification in Vermont. Returning to LA, he founded Old Chimney Farm in Malibu, an 8-acre Mediterranean food forest with hundreds of edible plants and livestock, and launched Westside Permies, a community group hosting events like Cobb Bench Builds and the Gardens of Gratitude. Sean also led the 2011 Southern California Permaculture Convergent and the 100 Garden Challenge, coordinating 800 volunteers to install over 100 edible gardens in a weekend. Having built homesteads across California and Hawaii for over 15 years, he now focuses on online marketing to help eco-based organizations spread their message. When he's not working for PINA as the communications coordinator, you'll find him surfing, coaching soccer, or creating content for his blog and YouTube channel at Homesteadin' Hawaii. Welcome, Sean. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Jesse. Well, wow, that was quite the introduction.
Yeah, I know. And I probably left some stuff out, too. You've been doing a lot in the permaculture world. And for those who don't know, we work together on a weekly, regular basis. So it's great to see you in this capacity. And I really look forward to your project. Ever since you told me about that 100 Garden Challenge in a weekend, I was like, I want to know more about that. So I'm glad you're going to deliver that to us today.
Yeah, I'm excited to finally have a chance to share. I always kind of wanted to share what we did there and, you know, give out the tidbits of knowledge that we learned along the way.
That's right. And other people can pick it up and replicate it. Sean, I start by asking everybody the same first question, which is like normal people think of permaculture as related to the landscape or the garden. But we also know that permaculture relates to community dynamics. What do you think, like, how do you think permaculture can apply to community development?
Well, I guess my days at the New College of California kind of really hit that home for me. I thought of it as like pretty much a PDC curriculum while getting a degree. And, you know, permaculture, one of the main core ethics is earth care, people care, and fair share, right? And so community development is just like, you know, you can give back, you can employ all of those ethics at the same time, which is what permaculture is to me. Like, it's not just growing food in my backyard, but it's making sure my whole community can grow food and that connections can be made and all those things, invisible structures. And I think as you kind of listen to my presentation today, you kind of see how, you know, community development fits right into what permaculture means and what we're trying to, you know, share out there with everyone here at PINA.
Yeah, right on. It doesn't do much good to have 100 gardens going if you don't have people enjoying them, right? So that's perfect. Well, Sean, hey, man, take it away. Go ahead and share screen. I'll be in the background. I'm here if you need me, but otherwise, go for it.
Well, Jesse already introduced who I am. I am Sean Jennings. I am the current communications coordinator with PINA here. But before my role with PINA, I was involved with many things. And one of those things was a little bit of activism where I grew up in my hometown of Los Angeles, California. So today I want to kind of dive into what we did there and explore how to make a positive change in the place that you live, because that's what a group of us did. And I think it was pretty transformational. Before we get into that, just want to give you a little bit of background about myself, because I feel like it's pretty important part of the story. So over 15 years ago, I was working in LA, developing a big permaculture landscape project in Malibu. And I was, as I was working there, overlooking the whole city of LA from there, which was a beautiful view, by the way, I just was struck by a thought that, you know, while I'm here creating this beautiful Garden of Eden, all those millions of people that I could see right across the bay there, what happens if they don't have any food when push comes to shove? So that kind of like spurred me into action in a way. Like, I wanted to make sure that all the food that I was planting at my client's place was gonna be there, for when they really needed it the most. And so, the dream, the idea of creating a community group in LA was born really from that little thought while working in the garden. And so I just felt like I had to share about permaculture with anyone who would listen. So the thing was, though, like here I am coming up with this grand idea to do what I can to make sure the whole city of LA was starting to grow food and whatnot. I was just some shy kid who would skip out on oral presentation class in school because I was too afraid to talk in front of school, all the kids in class. So it's like, how was I about to go ahead and start a community group? It's like I'm the last person who you would ever think of doing something like that. But I think the power of what I was feeling at that moment, that I really wanted, people to be growing food and to become more resilient in my community, that I just, looked beyond that shyness and just decided to take the leap. So it started with a flyer. Well, actually, it started with going to my local library and seeing if they had any rooms to rent to hold a gathering of people. And so I got some space there, and then I made some flyers because this was the days before Facebook and social media and whatnot. So you had to go around posting flyers around town. And I went to the local co-ops, posted them at the library, on power poles all around town, and wherever I thought there might be somebody who would walk by who might be interested in permaculture. And then all I did was wait. And as the day approached, I was getting so nervous. I remember I was like, what am I doing? I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know how to speak in front of a bunch of people and try and get them on board with this vision that I had. But I already set the date. I put flyers out. I couldn't back out. So I was pretty committed. Finally, the day came. I invited my mom to come just in case nobody showed up. She could be there for support at least, look like someone came. But to my surprise, over 30 people showed up. And we gathered in a circle. We spoke about what we'd hoped to see out of a group, like what I was bringing together. And what came out of it was a sense of purpose. And we decided we'd have these meetings once a month at the library on Mondays in the evening. And we try to invite some speakers to come, or someone from the group would come and share aspects about permaculture. And occasionally we would go and have a hands-on day at someone's house, kind of following up from what we learned on our monthly gathering. As time wore on, we were able to attract some more well-known speakers in the permaculture space. We had Brad Lancaster came out. And he gave us an amazing talk about rainwater catchment for dry urban landscapes like LA. And that talk completely wowed everybody in the room. It was like, wow, you get to harvest rain in the soil. It's like, that's exactly what we needed in LA. And so then we had Heather Flores come out. She wrote the book, Food Not Lawns. And she came out and shared her story about churning neighborhoods into communities and changing lawns into gardens. And she held a really cool interactive like event when she came, where we were out in a garden all together. She held this community event, and it kind of showed us all what it was like to have a food growing party, pretty much, because she had a band and she was sharing a lot of information. We all got our hands dirty, and it was a really great experience for us as a community group. We also had Mark Lakeman come out and talk to our group, which by now was like about 100, 200 strong at each and every one of our meetings. It was starting to get a little crazy. I think the library was actually kind of getting a little bit mad at us at a certain point, because there was like a big event going on upstairs when it was like this, it was a library. So we were having a upgrade to larger meeting rooms, and Mark Lakeman came out eventually and shared with us the power of redesigning cities and to make them more like village commons. And what they were doing in Portland with the intersection repair projects was super inspiring for all of us. We saw how they're painting the intersections, they're creating installations on the street corners to encourage neighbors to hang out and everything, planting food gardens and whatnot. It was a really cool thing to see and to learn about, and I think it really lit a fuse under everyone that was in the group there that I was a part of. Luckily, felt really blessed to be a part of this group, and they're all really stoked to be doing stuff. And so after Mark came, we were like, dude, let's do something. Let's kind of make a little mini city repair. And we didn't get permission to do a street mural. That was a little bit too far-fetched for a lot of the LA officials. But we did get Santa Monica College to agree to let us hold a little event there. And we had speakers come. Larry Santoyo, a local permaculture teacher in LA, came out and spoke to a bunch of people. And we also had a local cob builder, Ray Serino, lead some cob building that was right there, right in front of the college. And it was super inspiring for all the college kids to see something there. For them, it was like cob mud, building out of mud. It's just like, it was totally unheard of for them. So we got to turn on a lot of people to what permaculture was, what natural building was, and it was a great success, that event. And I think that's what led the group to wanting to do something even more, which I think we were ready for it. So at the time, I had a friend from college, from the new college, who was also doing community activism in his community. He lived in Ventura, and he had a group called the Grow Food Party Crew, and they were doing their thing up there. They were going to people's homes, they were establishing gardens, they were having these big garden parties with all their friends, and making the change happen. And I really was inspired by what he was doing. He was having these crews of people just show up to somebody's house with materials and whatnot, with people who knew how to play music, and they brought food, and they're just having this big garden party. And I was like, wow, okay, let's do that here, but let's take it up a notch. Like, can we do 100 gardens in one weekend? So I remember proposing that at the meeting the one night. I was just standing up there, and we're all like kind of super energized from that permaculture festival that we held at the community college. And we're like, I just was like, all right, what's our next idea gonna be? And I was just came out there with this thought from watching my buddy Devin up there at Grow Food Party Crew. And it's like, let's do 100 gardens in a single weekend. And I thought everyone was gonna be like, what, dude, that is crazy. Like, what are you thinking? Like, there's no way we can do that. But instead, everyone's like, yes, let's do it. And so there was no backing out at that point. We had to go ahead and make it happen. But luckily, we already accomplished so much together as a group that we all figured this would be a piece of cake. So we were all in. The trick was organizing it. So we wanted to make sure everyone was heard in all these organizing meetings, contributing where they wanted to be contributing and where they had the most skills. And we also wanted to ensure that this was a collaborative effort and not one that was organized by me or the other core members of the group alone. So luckily, there was a concept that I read about in a book by Rob Hopkins, where he mentioned how he ran his gatherings at his groups, and they used something called the Law of 2 Feet. So we decided to employ it with our group, and it worked perfectly. And you can see here, it's pretty much means that if people find themselves in a group where they feel like they, aren't being valued or heard, or that they don't have the skills for it, they're free to just use their 2 feet and walk on over to another group. And that concept, like, that got everyone exactly where they needed to be for the planning of this event. I'd have to say it was one of the key concepts, because people did drop out, people did leave, and eventually they were the key people in each of the positions that we needed. And it just happened organically. There was no placing or anything or whatnot. And just as organically, these positions all started to, these committees started to become born. We realized we needed a marketing committee, a committee that was able to get materials to fundraise, organize an after party, to organize web design or all those various things. We also had a few people who were just like filling in with everybody else where those where help was needed, right? So we had a few rovers that were kind of like the jack of all trades. And like if the marketing team needed a little extra boost to get something done, like I went in and helped get that website done because I was pretty good at making websites and I was able to finish it off, whereas someone got it started. So yeah, having that organized and making sure that everyone felt free to switch and go to the groups that really called to them, I feel like that was a pretty key part of the organizing of this event. And sure, I probably put in a little bit more time than everyone else, as the guy who was, I guess you could say I was in charge of the group, but I don't like to think that. I like to think we were all kind of in it together, but I was the face of it. But really, it wasn't that much time at all. Like I felt like it was most of the stuff was getting done without me, and I was like, I wish I was able to fill in more. But it was pretty cool to just like show up and be like, wow, everything's getting done. And there's nothing I need to do. It was like, wow, people are super into it. So that was cool. That was a good experience there. And we all worked together and got it done and realized that during the process, like there's something about growing food. It's in our DNA. It just feels healthy for us. It builds connections and community. And we knew that we were onto something when we were starting this event. We had a few small garden parties in the lead up to it, and we just saw the transformation that came out of them. And we knew that this event was going to be something pretty transformational because LA folks, most of them don't know where their food came from. A lot of them believe it comes from the grocery store. They don't even know their neighbors, so it was something that needed to be done. And I'd say, don't take my word for it.
One of the
Take
things
Ray's
that's
word
happened
here.
in the society we live in is people are become disconnected with the land. They don't even know what it feels like. When they do that, their immune system gets better. Number two, they could have food, which is something that, will give them self-reliance. I lived in an apartment for about 20 years, and I never got a chance to garden. I came to this area. This is the first time in 32 years that I've ever grown anything. And that's why this is an explosion of ideas. I'm just going nuts. I love the opportunity to have something very beautiful, very important at this time in our history of our land.
Yeah, and so with growing food came comes something even more powerful, and this event showed it.
Most people didn't know each other before any of this began, and they're working in the gardens, they're working in planning the event. People have made friendships, and our neighborhoods have once again opened up to us. And no longer are we strangers in the places we live, but now able to have friends and to share and to create community. And we're just bringing village life back into the city.
That was a super old video. So this event took place in 2010. We did it for 2 years in a row before I had to move from LA. And yeah, it's funny looking back on that young guy over there. But yeah, our goal was to grow food, but the real goal was to make community out of the city. And I feel like we accomplished it. People who didn't know each other at the end, they were friends, young, old, people who would probably never cross paths. There, all these connections were being made. And so let's just explore the mechanics of the event for a little bit. Okay. So I want to make sure that people can replicate this if they can. So as I already mentioned, this event was mostly planned by folks in the community group that I started that one fateful day. And we knew that in order to make this thing work, we had to keep it simple. And that's what we set out to do. On the back end, we had a few teams that made the event work. They would meet together as a smaller group, and then they would all present what they came up with to the larger group. And then we would help make tweaks or make things work until everything was right. And then we started to implement the plan. We had a marketing team that came up with the logos and the websites, the flyers, and the manpower to spread the word. And this gave way to how the event was to work. And so on the front end, it kind of worked like this, where we would sign up a host or a volunteer to garden or to volunteer as a musician. We would get the host a free consult from local garden experts, and we would deliver soil and plants for them. But other materials were the host's responsibility, like if they wanted raised beds or anything like that, they had to make sure to get the wood or whatever else they wanted to do. Volunteers would bring extra tools if they had them, and then that way, the homeowner wasn't needing to come up with 20 shovels. But we also had access to tools as well, due to some connections that we had in the local community, which is one of the great parts of having a community group plan an event like this. Volunteers were assigned to gardens based on the location that we live at, so that real connections could be forged. We didn't want someone from East LA having a volunteer in West LA. We wanted to make sure that everyone was as close as possible to the garden they were volunteering at, so that they could see the garden later on and say hello to the person they were helping out with, bridging and building that community. And we wanted to make sure that on the day of the event, everyone had a ton of fun. So we encouraged those musicians to sign up as volunteers. A lot of those gardens had parties where they had live bands, they had food, and it was just a good time where the volunteers were like wanting to do this every weekend because they never had so much fun. And so we put the call out. Okay, we put the call out after, we came up with the framework of the event to get volunteers. And luckily enough for us, we had a videographer who was on part of the community group that we were in, and he volunteered to make us a video, like a little commercial spot. And this is what he came up with.
West Los Angeles. In this sea of concrete and well-maintained lawns, a move towards sustainable living is gaining ground.
People of all ages are getting involved, growing organic fruits and veggies,
and celebrating life and community. Now it's your turn.
Join the Westside Permaculture Group.
Along with hundreds of community members and volunteers, so that we can create over 100 edible gardens of gratitude on the weekend of May 16th and 17th, all across the West Side. If you've ever wanted to start a small home garden in your front yard, backyard, or even your balcony, now is the time to get started.
A little cheesy maybe, but that promotion worked.
Oh
And it
my
wasn't
God.
long
Sean,
before.
I love that. Also, dude, how weird is it that it's on the weekend of May 16th and 17th, the exact time our summit is being held?
Oh, whoa, serious. That's crazy. Serendipitous,
Yeah. Keep going.
it seems. So, that video worked pretty well, and it wasn't long before volunteers and started signing up, and hosts started to sign up their gardens. And what a really cool feature was that I think was part of the success that got more people to sign up was on our website was just a simple map right there, front and center, that showed every garden that was signing up. And so people like were getting excited to be the next garden to sign up and be like, oh, there's gardens in my neighborhood. Whoa, how cool. And the volunteers also got to see that there were gardens in their neighborhoods and that they wanted to be part of that. And so it was a great visual showing off to people, what sort of action was taking place. And I think that's was a good driver in the promotion of the event. All right, so with all that attention coming down to the event, that's the work was starting to begin, and we had to begin to organize all the volunteers, There was a lot of gaps we had to fill, but we planned for that. We planned on having volunteers that would rove around and fill gaps as needed. We didn't have any money for any of this. We built 100 gardens with zero money and had were able to provide soil, plants, deliveries, consultations, all this stuff for free. We actually got some donations, and I was like, we got like probably $2,000 in donations. I was like, I don't know what to do with this money. And so I was like, let's just buy some tools and plants and soil and stuff, whatever extra things we have, and give it to some homeless shelters and build gardens there on the day of the event. So that's what we did with the money that we got. So it just goes to show, people, I hear it all the time, like, oh, but that's going to take money. But, we proved it. It didn't take any money. It took a community of people. And that's a different part of what all this is. Like with permaculture, there are different economies, and you can tap into them. And what we tapped into was the social economy. And by doing that, we were able to get everything for free. And so, people with trucks volunteered to deliver soil that was donated by the city for free. On the day of the event, we had roving crews and trucks delivering more soil, more plants, more people to garden parties that may have gotten overlooked or just kind of waning on energy. But most of them were self-organized. They were and implemented. They invited a lot of their friends and whatnot. And so it kind of like magnified the impact of what we were already doing. There were more volunteers than what actually ended up signing up. And at the end, we had a big party where we all got together, shared the fun times that we had over the weekend. And that was like, I think that really coalesced the community that was being built on that weekend. Because while we were all at our individual gardens over the weekend, everyone was really excited to come back and share their experience from the event. And I think that's was really a great community building part of the whole event, as opposed to just doing the gardens. I think it was really important to get together as a whole at the very end. And so yeah, it was pretty cool. I would say it went off as smoothly as you could imagine an event going smoothly. There were no hiccups. Every garden was made. If there was a hiccup, maybe there was like a garden had less volunteers than another garden, or because maybe someone who volunteered didn't show up or something. But that's what we were trying to do with those roving crews, was to make sure that if that happened, people showed up and boosted the energy. So I feel like it went pretty well. And by having the community plan the event, we were able to see the holes that perhaps we wouldn't have seen if we planned it by ourselves. And so there was like small crews doing the core planning, but they brought it all back to the larger crew to get evaluation and feedback. What is that? Permaculture principle. And we were using that, and it worked wonderfully. So a little couple images from the event here, This one on the bottom right, I dubbed the Army Goes to War. This is everyone heading into the garden party with their tools, shovels, materials, and getting it done. Some of the events were big. They had like 20, 30 people. Others had 2 to 3 people. It all depended on what the host was aiming for. And down below, bottom left, example of some of the volunteers with the soil they're dropping off. This guy was a local compost maker, and he donated bags of his biodynamic compost to people, which was really cool. And so he was one of our truck drivers driving around. And we had some projects going on right on the street of a busy street. If you know LA, Lincoln Boulevard, one of the busiest boulevards you can find. And there we are, digging up the sidewalk and planting a garden right next to the Boys and Girls Club. And people are we're out there, changing the urban environment to be growing food, which was super cool. And you could see, like, everyone had their own different ways of doing it. Some people rototilling their lawn, some people sheet mulch. It all was based upon whatever the consultants, guided their, garden hosts to do, or sometimes the garden hosts had their own plans, but we were just there to help and support growing food. And through the event, people made friends, people came together and a community was born. And I'd say, like, I grew up in LA my whole life, and I never felt like I was part of that town. I never met anyone that I really clicked with, except for at the ocean or maybe playing baseball. But other than that, like, LA is, it's got its issues. A lot of people are there to make something out of themselves, and it could be a little selfish. But this event, man, it was transformational, and that side of LA was not there. All of LA, we came, all of the people here, part of this event, they came together and showed that there are tribes, even in a big city like LA, where you could find the people who are like you. And, sometimes we feel so isolated, like even in a city, like there's no one like me. But I realized through this event that there are, you just got to find them. And I feel like a lot of people found that out through this event as well. LA turned into, I think, this helped inspire LA to become more of a food movement type of city. And so it was pretty cool to see the transformation that happened through the 2 years of doing this event here. And so what I feel like we grew besides just food was local leadership. Like I said, like, after I was gone from LA, I saw a lot of the folks who were staying back. They were continuing on and making things happen in their communities and making positive change. And that's something that was needed in LA. Someone, I guess, like, there just needed to be someone to just get it started. And I feel like that was my role. And I don't know why I got it started, but I did. As I mentioned, there are a lot of friendships were made during the event. Neighborhood pride, like, people got so proud, especially in neighborhoods where a few of the garden parties happened, like, close together. Like, it was like a pride and a competition where everyone wanted to have the better garden, and that was a cool thing, because people are having doing things like in a positive light competitively instead of a negative competitive way. It was kind of a cool thing to see, and it gave people purpose. Like, for me, it gave me purpose. Like, I guess I can't speak on everyone else, but it was like, man, like, this is something real. Like, we're building community, we're growing food, and I want to see more of this happen, and I want to make sure, like, our future is based more on stuff like this rather than what we're seeing more of today. And unfortunately, what this is 15 years later, and there isn't that much stuff like this happening. I know it's a lot of work. We're all busy in debt and lack of time and living our lives. But one thing I noticed is there was people who had the scarcity mentality that I came across while I was part of this group. And they found it hard to, do things. But for me, like, I didn't have much going on. I was building a garden at my friend's house in Malibu that I went to high school with their parents, and whatnot. But when I started that group and started to meet all these people, like, so many doors were opening that I feel like I could have been on the top of the whole thing if I stayed there. And, if I wanted to start a landscape business, I could have been the number one landscape business. Or if I wanted to start anything, like, I would have had the clout and the, community, support to be successful. And I feel like when we're sitting in, our lives right now of, things, ideas, and reasons to stop and not to do something, like, I think all those are excuses, because when you get through the other side and start something and actually do it, so much more opens up. than you ever had before. That if you feel like you're in some scarcity place right now, this is your answer. Do something, volunteer, make a positive event in your community, and watch that scarcity disappear. Because, man, there was only abundance from what I saw. So what made it work? Passionate leaders. Feel like that was part of it. I was pretty passionate. I had a co-leader working with me who was there filling in and just as passionate as me. And while we were like holding the space, there were other people who are also passionate leaders in their group stepping up. And so that was a key part. And I guess, as much as I hate leaders and whatnot and governments, leaders and officials, like there is a place for people who have a good heart, who want to make change and who are willing to lead people, because I feel like there are a lot of people who want to do cool things, but they just need someone to help them do it and to be there and to show them the way. And I didn't know the way, but I was willing to be there and hold the space. And together we found the way. And feel like that was a key part. When I left, the Gardens of Gratitude or the 100 Garden Challenge did not continue. But people were passionate in their own things and they did their own projects and whatnot. And so passionate leaders is one of the main things I feel like made it work. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And then I think another key part was we started small. Like I said, when we started, we just had a community group with what I thought two people were going to show up to. 30 people showed up, and we just had, monthly meetings for a year or two. Did a couple projects at each other's homes, and eventually it led to us wanting to do more for our community. Because I started that the community group's main thing was when I started, I want to start a community group that makes positive change in the places we live. That was the mission. That was it. And so as we started to came to come as we started to build relationships over the first year or two of that community group, starting small, it's what led us to be able to make 100 gardens at one time in a single weekend. And by using what we had, we didn't have to use any money. We had networks that we were able to tap into. The Venice Learning Garden in LA was allowing us to stage all the soil that got donated. Like we put like 100 yards of soil in their parking lot, and they were like, yeah, sure. And we would all come in and, shovel it up and take it to the houses. We had a collaboration with the local nonprofit Sustainable Works, who helped build these city connections that we needed. And that was because those people were members of the community group. And so those networks just showed up. And through it all, while it was stressful, the planning was tough and whatnot, we made sure to keep the vibe fun. When we came and presented our findings as a group, like I remember one night in the community meeting, the marketing team came up with the logo and some other promotional material, and we got to have it on the board, and we all got to have like a really cool like voting process through it all, and everyone was having a good time, like being part of that decision-making process. And we also sprinkled in, I think, some other speakers from the community to come during that time when we were. Sometimes we just wanted to have a meeting that wasn't doing all the work, so we just kind of had like a fun chill out meeting, and that kept it fun. And we probably spent about 2 to 3 months of planning as a group. I remember, yeah, it was around January, February. We're like, let's do this event. Let's do it in May, and we just jumped on it. And so it didn't take forever, but it did take some time to get that planning all moving forward. But it worked and we made it happen. But like I said, it wasn't always easy. There's a lot of burnout, Shoots, that's probably why we only did. That's probably why I moved. I had a kid. I moved to Hawaii. Oh, that was another thing. Like the things that came out of this event, like I met my wife and I had a kid, you know? And so I wasn't getting paid to do this. I wasn't, you know, trying to do anything for glory or anything. I just wanted to make change in the community I live in. And then I end up meeting the woman I'm married to today. And that was a pretty cool experience. But we had a kid. She was, you know, between that and community work and all this stuff, we were getting burned out. And so I had a place and I eventually moved back to Hawaii, where we can chill again. But a lot of me really wishes I stayed to continue the work that we were doing in LA. But you know, it felt like it was the right move for me. And I also know a lot of other people, they got burned out too along the way. But there were other volunteers that filled in. But you know, sometimes there weren't. And I had late nights filling in myself. And I remember the day before the event, I had to organize 100 volunteers and where they needed to go. And it was a lot. But it wasn't that much. And you'd be surprised how actually easy it was. But I had no experience, neither did anyone else who was planning this. We were a community group of people who had all various experiences doing what they were experienced doing in. And we came together and created an event that now we have experience in creating. And it actually led to some other things. So Gardens of Gratitude, after that, I was like, let's do a permaculture convergence. And we held a permaculture convergence in Malibu at this really cool retreat center. And same low budget style we always did, except it was very fancy because it was at this Malibu retreat center. But I got them to allow a lot of camping, and I flown in speakers from other areas, and we sold tickets for $75 for camping and a little up more than 100 for bunkhouses. And what was it? Oh, I remember the big deal was they needed a $20,000 deposit for us to get, you know, make sure we could have that place. And I was able to negotiate with them because they were able to, they saw like I was, it showed my social proof of what we did with the Gardens of Gratitude, the 100 Garden event. And they're like, all right, if you get this amount of money by this date, then you can pay us then. And so we just pre-sold our tickets, had $20,000 by that date. And then they, you know, let us do it. They kind of fronted us our deposit in a way. And so you know, that's what a side thing that came out from events. I guess we weren't totally burned out because we wanted to keep doing more. And so I guess my thought is like, ever since that event, like what if every city had its own 100 Garden Challenge? Imagine the transformation that could be had across the country or the world. Like 100 gardens every year being made in every city. Like we can change the world that way. We can have abundance in our communities again. We can the political like infighting that's going on might disappear. Like we might have less wars and less bickering just by having more gardens. And so my challenge to everyone out there is think about how maybe you can have a 100 garden challenge of your own. Like it wasn't impossible. And that's what I want to share with you guys. Like an idea like this was not impossible. If a guy like me, some shy kid who couldn't speak in front of his class, was able to like gather up a group of people and then lead it to a 100 garden challenge. Like I'd say all it really took was my time. You know, I had to give up some of my time, but what I got in return was so much more. And so I part of me hopes to revisit these 100 garden challenges one day soon. I've been thinking about here in Hawaii, doing something maybe we call out here the Kapuna Garden Challenge, where we make gardens for old folks. And And we do go crawl across Hilo here in Hawaii and get all the young, energized people to come to old folks' places and make gardens for them. And my kids are getting older, and I feel like I'm starting to get that energy back again to do stuff like that. And I know it's not right. Doing stuff like this doesn't fit all the time with what stage of life you're in. Like, I recognize I couldn't do it because I had a young family and I was busy with them. As much as I would love to have been doing this stuff and showing them this kind of stuff as they're growing up, it took so much energy that I just had to check out for a while. But my inspiration is there to do it again, and I feel like it's needed even more to have more gardens growing and to have more people doing it. And if you get anything from my presentation today, it's that it's easier than you think, it costs less than you think, and all you got to do is just get started. Okay. So once again, the key steps that I want to reiterate: you form a core team, okay? Start small. When you get to a point, set a date because that holds you accountable. You cannot back out when you do that. And then build community around it all, because once you build that community, everything fits into place. Everything. You just got to have faith that, I know it sounds hokey or whatnot, you gotta have faith the universe will provide. Because I don't know, when I was involved in that group, it was ma something magical was happening, and whatever was needed showed up. I haven't been able to tap into that again since then, but it happened, and I saw it, and it was like, wow, there is a power in that where, stuff shows up. Stuff shows up just by building community. So I encourage folks to think about that and think about our future, because that's what it's for, right? All of this, what we're doing, is create a better world for our future. I have kids now. They're getting older. They're teenagers. Unfortunately, I haven't seen as much of this stuff happening, but I do also see a lot of this stuff happening. More and more people are growing food than back then. A lot of people growing food in their backyards. They're growing food in their rural homesteads. But I want to see more people growing food as a community in their cities, in the places they already live. And I want to see them doing it together. And that's what I hope that to see more of in the future. So here I am. End of presentation. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and possibly I missed something. And if you have any questions or whatnot, like, feel free. Like, this is the time to make an event like this happen, because I could share whatever I got for you. And I'm always available. I want to see if there's a group or a person out there who wants, I try to share as much detail as I can right now for how I did it. And my thoughts of like starting a community group and an event like this, there might be more, but feel free to ask. I might have something more to give you. All right, Jesse.
Sean, thank you so much, dude. That was amazing. A whole lot of inspiration and a whole lot of practical steps too. And I think just like hearing you, like it feels like there's almost no barrier. Like I would have thought like you would have had to build this big group and have this big membership to like pull off something like this. And the way you're talking about it, it's like, no, man, just get started and let it emerge. Like it kind of emerged naturally from the group. It just feels like anybody could do this and it's replicatable. Maybe 100 gardens. I don't know. Maybe people should go less than that to start with or something. But it feels very doable. So thanks for all that inspiration, Sean.
Yeah, no problem. That's exactly what I want to share, that it is all very doable. And I just want to see, don't want people to be afraid. Like, I've been afraid stopped me for so long.
Yeah.
And when I finally stopped being afraid, amazing things happened.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And another thing that keeps me, even to this day, is like scarcity around money. Because it's like, oh, how are we going to get all the soil, right? It's going to take a lot of soil. How are we going to get all the plants? How are we going to get all the tools? And I think many people think, oh, you got to have money. You got to pay for that stuff. But your story is living proof that it's like, no, when you get the right people together, some connection might lead to free soil or free plants. For, I don't know, how'd you get a lot of your plants? Did the volunteers grow them, or how did that happen?
Yeah, we tried to have people ahead of time start up plants. So, you know, the group was filled with gardeners, so we had that. And, you know, like you said, we had connections. And one of my friends growing up, you know, I went to school in a wealthy school. I got bussed in there. I wasn't one of those kids, but I got to meet a lot of them. And parents there owned businesses. And one of them was this Anahuault Lumber nursery place that had a few shops around LA, and they donated plants and material for us as well. And so that's just like, you know, the, you know, if it wasn't me, it could have been someone else in the group. So
Totally. So you kind of mentioned it, but if people had questions, they're like, oh my gosh, I need to ask Sean a question. Are you okay giving away an email that people can reach out to you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just hit me up at swjennings@gmail.com. And I just love helping. If you are jazzed about an idea like this, I'm jazzed to help you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And maybe, who knows, maybe even Pina will take up this mantle a little bit and start to do, encourage and help teach people with how-to manuals and your summit presentation and that sort of thing, how to do it across the continent. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, yeah, like actually something I wanted to mention earlier is another presenter here at this conference, Trathan Heckman. He's with Daily X, and they actually reached out to me during these events and said, we want to replicate it where we live. And they came up with a whole like a tweak on the whole model to where, you know, it seems like you could do it from anywhere. Like, and so I'm excited to hear what Trathan has to say in his presentation. And it was exciting to see what they did with the event, because it made it so it was like, it required less hands-on from us. But at the same time, I feel like it missed some of the community.
Yeah.
And the hands-on part was part of that community.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's pros and cons to all the things.
Yeah. And like you said, Trathan will be in this summit, giving us all sorts of his tidbits and hard earned wisdom too. So check that out, folks. Well, thanks again, Sean. I don't want to take too much more of your time. Really appreciate you being here. Really appreciate you sharing all this awesome wisdom from your experience. And what an inspiring story. I feel all jazzed up, which is not hard for me because I get inspired easily. But truly, that was really, really inspiring work that y'all were involved in. So thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, man.
It's nice that PineNet is there to speak up and help network the permaculture movement. It's only capturing a fraction of the movement that are officially involved and are members. So, boy, if PineNet could get all the permacultures, or half of them, or a fourth of them, to all sign up and become working together, PineNet could just really do so much more.
Just every one of my 2,000 students and all the students that have been through the course, wherever they are in the world, have in some way made a profound impact. And we can do much more if we can link them up and support them strategically. So that's why I'm asking for support from the private.